You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Ooh, it's time to probe the universe on Spaced Out, thanks to the spunky spunks at Stardome Observatory and Planetarium in One Tree Hill.
Spaced Out.
I am joined by David. Hello, David.
Hi, Alice.
How are you this morning?
Oh, pretty good.
That's good to hear. Okay, so what are we talking about this morning?
Well, I thought we'd start off with the weird and wonderful universe as, you know, something that has puzzled people forever, and various ideas have been put forward about the nature of it and how to describe it properly and so on. And, you know, in astronomy, the most the prevalent way of describing this is the Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we see, or just about everything we see, seems to fit with the way that that works. But one of the more out there ideas was the idea that, nothing to do with The Matrix, the movie, but the idea that the universe might be a hologram.
Oh, excellent. You know I love the weird and the wonderful.
Okay, so this idea has been around probably getting up for a couple of decades in one form or another. I mean, the basic idea is, a hologram, the sort of image you have on your credit card where it's a two-dimensional thing you're looking at, but as you turn it from side to side, you can see a 3D image. So you've encoded a 3D image in a 2D surface. So the idea, a bit like going to the movies and watching a 3D movie, you know, the image isn't actually like a hit coming towards you, it just appears to be, but it's from a 2D origin. The idea that maybe the universe might work that way. So the main problem when you talk about the universe is reconciling the very large with the very small. So, you know, the theory of relativity, gravitation, that sort of thing, Einstein came up with a way of describing the large scale, how the universe works as we look out at it with our own eyes. Then there's another thing called quantum theory, quantum mechanics, which describes the very, very small of subatomic world. But to get those two to match, to join up smoothly, has been very difficult and, well, hasn't been achieved, basically. And so the idea that a hologram, to reconcile those two large and small-scale parts of the universe, has been developing, and now groups in Canada, the UK, and Italy who've done observations on what's called the cosmic microwave background radiation, I'll explain that in a second, seem to have found this match and the idea that the hologram might explain things. So that this cosmic microwave background radiation, when you look across the whole sky in the microwave band, there's this white noise. A part of it actually appears on your TV when it's not tuned, those black and white random pixels. It's the radiation left over from the Big Bang. So when the universe began, it was extremely hot. The universe was smaller. And as the universe got bigger, it cooled. And this background radiation is that leftover heat from the very beginning of the universe. When you look at that, it's not smooth, it has fluctuations. And part of this idea is that encoded, if you like, in that those fluctuations is the information from earlier in the universe, closer to when the Big Bang occurred. So whether this idea becomes just something that is good for mathematically describing the universe, or whether it turns out the universe actually exists as a hologram, in other words, it's not just an image of a 3D thing, but it actually is a 3D thing from a 2D surface or something like that, who knows?
Okay, so wait, I just going back to it. So they're imagining there that when we look up or look out, that there's a 2D surface above us. sorry if I'm trying to oversimplify this.
When we look out and you look at the sky, the illusion is that it's two-dimensional, isn't it? So to get the depth, you have to measure things, but because trying to see whether a bright star is actually a bright one or a faint one is difficult. It might be a faint one up close, or it might be a bright one further away. Excuse me. So we know the universe has three dimensions. It does have depth.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here for the background radiation is, when you look across the sky in all directions, this heat in the universe that appears as microwave radiation is about 3 degrees above absolute zero. So we know that's like the afterglow of the Big Bang.
Yeah.
Now, but if you want to look back further, because as you look out into the universe, you know, every sort of billion light years or whatever you're looking at, you're not just looking back in space, you're also looking back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're looking back a billion light years, well, it took light a billion years to get here from those objects. But to see right back to the beginning of the Big Bang is not possible, because light, it was like a fog at the early stages of the universe. Photons couldn't get out.
Okay.
So the idea is that the fluctuations in the cosmic microwave background radiation might hold the information from an earlier era in the universe. And we might be able to see the earlier universe through that.
Wow.
So that's the first stage. But the second stage is also possible that the actual universe is a hologram.
Okay.
That's the big step, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there's a long way to go before we say we're a part of a matrix, but...
Wow. That is very cool. That is, definitely one to wrap the mind around.
Yeah, well, I mean, the people who are investigating this, they say, well, they can't get their head around it either. So this is where the maths is leading them, yeah.
Wow, that's, so much about looking at space is mind-boggling, so it's...
Well, but the thing is, when you look out and you look at the vastness of space, you've got to always keep in mind that that is made up of the extremely small.
Yeah.
So you can't even look at subatomic particles directly. You have to put them through something like the Large Hadron Collider and see the effects and then deduce their existence and examine them that way. So they're as small as the universe is large.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And that's where they're trying to reconcile those two ends of the scale, if you like.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for introducing this to us.
Yeah, I know, I've tended to shy away from cosmology on the show, but I thought that one was worth having a go at.
Yeah, I think so. I think just, you know, bring it in, and even if not everyone's fully getting there, we can start to piece together our understanding.
Not fully getting it either, so.
And also, you know, in however many years, if it's within my lifetime, the researchers come out with...
Yeah.
Their new theories. I'll be like, oh, yes.
Oh, there's bound to be new theories.
Oh, yeah, but if they managed to prove any of these ones.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. I see here we have something about Peter Thiel.
Yeah, he's the guy who's been in the news recently about getting New Zealand citizenship. It all blew up when it turned out that he was an advisor to Trump. Well, he actually has a link to... and our space program.
Oh, really?
I mean, I've talked about Rocket Lab a number of times.
Yeah.
The New Zealand company that's developing a rocket to go up into space. Peter Beck, the New Zealand founder, is quite often in the news talking about what they're up to. So they're hoping to have, planning to have rockets launched this year from the Mahia Peninsula at their launch facility there. And they've also teamed up with a place called, hold a second, I've got Moon Express. So to fund these, you need quite a bit of money. Rocket Lab has Silicon Valley venture capitalists, so Stephen Tindall and Lockheed Martin as backers, $25 million over 5 years from the government as well. Moon Express is an American company, and their idea is to go to the moon and mine it, so to bring back valuable minerals and so on from the moon.
Interesting.
Now, their funding includes investor Peter Thiel.
Okay.
So Peter Thiel has companies called Founders Fund, the Collaborative Fund, and Autodesk, and he is an investor in Moon Express. So he's sort of come full circle. There's no evidence that he's invested directly in Rocket Lab, but he has invested in Moon Express. And Moon Express has contracted with Rocket Lab to send their vehicle to the moon.
Okay.
And the idea is to get there first, drive a vehicle half a kilometre on the moon's surface, sending back images to Google. And if they do that, they'll win the Lunar X Prize, which is a $30 million reward for a private company to achieve that.
Wow. In terms of mining up there, like, what minerals are up there?
Well, there's plenty of minerals. The thing is, the moon hasn't changed much since it formed. It doesn't have weathering or tectonic movement or anything like that. So there's plenty of minerals. The question is whether you can bring it back to the Earth and make a profit.
Yeah.
And an analogy that I've been told many times is, you know, if aliens went to the moon and got all the gold there and smelted it and just had gold ingots sitting there ready for you, if you went there and brought those gold ingots back, you wouldn't make a profit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's got to be something that's really, really valuable. But another question is, why bring it back to the Earth? Why not manufacture on the moon and manufacture your own moon base and your own rockets on the moon? Because half the problem with the Earth is our gravity. It's expensive and difficult and dangerous to be leaving and returning to Earth gravity all the time.
So
if you're up on the moon, you're already in space, and getting off the moon isn't so difficult.
Okay.
So, I mean, the first thing, though, is to achieve this, and that's what Moon Express is aiming to do.
Okay. And what did you say they're partnering with Rocket Lab?
Well, Rocket Lab will be providing the rocket to send their vehicle to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And the rockets that will be launched this year from Mahé Peninsula are the test phase rockets, and then they're hoping that they'll be actually sending something, a proper payload up into orbit at the end of the year or the beginning of next year. And Moon Express wants to get there as soon as possible. But Moon Express is going through all the red tape back in the States. You can't just send something to Moon. There's a lot of hoops you've got to jump through. And because they're the first private company to get this far, it's all first-time stuff. Like the FAA, which has authority over a lot of this, all the other vehicles that have gone beyond Earth space out like to the moon have been government agencies, the US, Russia, India, Japan. This is the first private one, so everyone's learning.
Yeah, it sounds like we're entering into a new era, and it's going to take a while to work out the kinks, I imagine.
Yeah, although probably not as, I mean, there's already a space treaty, and that seems to be holding, and it seems to be a good document. It's based at the United Nations. So as long as you don't get, like, rogue companies or nations that just ride roughshod over that, it shouldn't be too problematic. It's, you know, cowboys that might upset the apple cart that might be the problem, perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, let's move on to the Auckland night sky. What can we see at the moment?
These clear skies, I hope people are getting out and having a look. After sunset, you've got Venus and Mars in the west, near where the sun goes down. Venus is very bright. Mars is up to the right, a sort of orangey colour. We've got Orion in the north, a huge constellation. Matariki, the Pleiades, is still in the north. you know, get out there and have a look. It's the first quarter moon, so you've got a few more days before it gets too bright. It'll be full moon, I think, on Thursday next week. Need to get out there before the full moon. No, sorry, next, I beg your pardon, that's next Saturday is full moon, sorry. So the sky will get a bit bright then. So maybe the idea is, once it gets to that stage, is to get out in the morning sky and have a look. There's three planets in the morning sky. There's Jupiter in the north. By the morning, I mean like an hour before sunrise.
Yeah.
And there's also Saturn and Mercury over in the east. So plenty of good things to look at.
Great. And what's happening at the Stardome?
Okay, Stardome, we've got a couple of events coming up. The first is on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. There's wine, cheese and astronomy. So this is a chance to put two passions together if you're into wine and cheese. So it's an evening where you can do that and have a special extended night sky show. People drinking the wine need to be 18 years and over, of course, with ID. The other thing is Valentine's Day, which I'm sure you'll be booking something for. Tuesday, 14th of February. We've got shows at 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10 o'clock, starting on the hour. So that's a special package for couples. So when you come along, you get bubbles on arrival and canapés before the show. The show is a special show about the romance in the night sky. when you leave, you'll also get a gift box that has two 200ml bottles of wine, two wine glasses, there'll be cookies, chocolate, and you also get an Adopt-A-Star pack. It's a $65 value. The Adopt-A-Star is basically the star becomes yours. I mean, it's not obviously ownership, but yeah, so that's part of the deal. So they can all be booked online or by phoning the observatory at 624-1246.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Something a little bit different, maybe, to do on Valentine's Day.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, it's very popular, and that's why we've got extra shows this year. So with five shows, should be plenty of opportunity for people to find a seat.
I do think that the Stardome is a good date spot. Are you allowed to come alone to the Valentine's Day special show?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Just checking.
Yeah.
You won't be turned away at the door.
No. I hadn't even thought of that question.
People might want to know.
I'm marketing manager next week, though.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Lovely to talk to you, David, as always.
And you, Alice.
Have a good weekend.
And you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.